Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Rack and Yak.
It's time for What Mark Heard on Saturday Suckage with Mark Grody and Steve Rosenblum.
Boy, everyone is stupid except me.
And here's someone who can make us smarter. Welcome back to Saturday Suckage. What Mark Heard could not exist if we didn't have Mark, and we now have Mark, and he's Mark Grody. Mark, how are you?
I'm well, and I'm able to hear things, so that is a benefit to this particular segment. And
wait. When were you not able to hear things?
Well, I'm just saying, I think that we should really go a little bit backstage here on this segment and let people know that, yes, I am of the hearing. So there are things that I hear that maybe other people don't hear with my good hearing and my good sources.
Okay, take that, Trash Panda.
Mark Grody can hear. I got it.
I can't hear. Yeah, put that down. Put that on Twitter. And
put that on your resume. Can hear.
Yeah, I'm one of those hearing broadcasters. So, yeah, that's me. You ready to get rocking here, Stevie Sunshine?
Go for it. What have you brought to share with the class?
Let's do it, because I feel like we never get to everything I want to get to. So let's get right.
That's true.
Let's get dirty,
man. We get hijacked. Like, now there was a Han Solo bread carving. It's like a six foot rendering of Han Solo in bread. So we'll save that for later.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
There you go. All right, moving right along to football, not fuzzball.
Yeah. All right, let's start with Jalen Johnson, who was a guest on the Parkinson Spiegel show, as he is the day after every single Bears game. And so far, he has been excellent with Danny and Matt. And I thought it was very interesting that, and I know that you've played around with the Justin Fields audio, or at least discussed it today, the fact that he's sort of at the end of his wits in terms of sick and tired of just being close. He told that to me right after the game, that he told the rest of the media. And then I heard Jalen Johnson on with the guys yesterday uttering something very similar but separate.
There's just something that needs to be done, something that needs to be changed, needs to be fixed. I mean, there's really no clear answer, I feel like, but it's just something that we all need to look ourselves in the mirror and figure out what we can do to make this team better and ultimately win ball games. Because, I mean, it's one of those things where I'm tired of hearing, oh, we're getting better, we're going in the right direction, but we keep losing. Like, that's not getting better in the sense, is it going to keep our jobs? Getting better isn't going to get anybody paid or anything like that. I feel like we got to win games. We got to be winners. So I feel like really for us, I feel like as players and as a team, we want to win. We want to figure it out. But, I mean, like I said, you just got to really look yourself in the mirror, watch the tape, and just find ways to win at the end of the day.
So that matches what your quarterback said last night when he was very frustrated at the podium and said, tired of hearing that we're close. So is that something that you guys feel collectively as a team, it's interesting to hear, you know, you as one of the leaders on the defense and him talking about it from the offense perspective. Did the coach tell you guys you're close last night? Hard to hear?
Yeah, that's definitely something that we hear. And I mean, as a coach too, you want to stay positive, but I feel like also it's one of those things where at some point we got to put our foot down and we got to be competitors. And we got to win ultimately. I feel like that's our job. That's why they were brought in here. They weren't brought in here just to make players better, but of course to win games too at the end of the day. And I mean, we're all process driven and we want to get better, but I feel like we need to win some games. So I feel like that's what it's all about for us.
I like this because, Steve, there's a – I don't know if conflicting is the right word, conflicting messages from the players and from the coaches, but the coaches aren't measured this year. The coaches know what's up. The GM knows what's up, that this is a rebuilding year. It's about development and getting better and getting close. And guess what? The players aren't having it. They don't want it. They're not trying to hear that. They don't want to hear that they're – or they accepted that, I think, for a couple of games, but except for the San Francisco game and in the opener, and then the Sunday, the September 25th game against Houston, where they just barely eked out a win on the Roquan pick, and then the subsequent Cairo Santos field goal, they don't want to hear. There are veterans on this team that don't want to hear, hey, you guys are okay, you're getting close, you guys are going to be just fine one of these days. They want to be fine now. So I like what's going on. There's some pissed off players, and Jalen Johnson and your quarterback, your leader, Justin Fields, those are two of the guys that are pissed off and they don't want to hear about close.
Why are both sides of the ball with leaders, Justin, with Johnson and Fields, why are they so lame, ill-equipped to start a game?
That's a great question. I do not know why the slow starts have occurred. The only theory...
Well, if you're so mad, though, I mean, do you see where this is? It's like, you're so mad. We got to win games. Well, you can't win them unless you start them right, because obviously you can't come from behind. But here's what's crazy. The Bears have had a lead in all six games. They have led every game at some point in time. They've not started well. They've not finished well.
Right.
But they've had a lead, right?
Yeah, it's completely uneven. I mean, there are times that they've, like, just – I think the greatest example is probably so far this year is the Minnesota game. They look like trash in the first half in every way, shape, and form. You know, defense looked embarrassing, offense looked embarrassing, and then all of a sudden they come out in the second half and they looked really good. And while I like adjustments are cool, they're fun to talk about, it's easy pickings for us. It's like, oh, yeah, we can see that. You know what I mean? We all love adjustments.
Yeah,
oh, we got to adjust.
We're going – yeah, it's like picking season.
Yeah, it's fun. Everybody loves a good adjustment, because that's coaching, man. Can you adjust? Yeah. That is coaching right there. But you can't. That does not mean you dismiss the bad parts. Just because you made adjustments and things got a whole hell of a lot better, guess what? You lost the Minnesota game because of those two atrocious quarters. And then, you know, it got better, and something about it, I will admit, in real time, felt like a victory, just because you had a real chance to win the Minnesota game, but you didn't, and that's because it was bad in the first half, plain and simple.
But they're not, you know, when we had much of the Nagy regime was marked by the script. Their offense was marked by the script, and they were real interesting and creative, and they looked really good compared to what they would look like later. This team doesn't look like sometimes it doesn't look like it practiced all week, or maybe it practiced basketball instead of football. I don't know how it can happen repeatedly. How are you not ready to start a game? I don't know when these questions start getting asked and answered, and when the coaching staff comes under some criticism for what are you doing to prepare these guys. One of the things they talked about, right, is putting guys in position to win a game, put your whole team in a position to win a game. When do you put a team in a position to start a game? It makes me crazy.
I hear you. Notwithstanding this week, because we understand that practices were compromised because of – so. It's interesting. Going back, I would say like 2 weeks ago, I want to say now, Matt Eberflus, yeah. One of the things that he has said when he has come in on Mondays and getting us ready and preparing the media for what with the rough outline of what the team is going to do, 2 weeks in a row, he said that we're going to have lighter practices and let some guys heal a little bit and go a little bit easier considering the schedule that is coming up and that has already occurred. And then somebody asked him recently, do you want to ramp practices back up again because of what you're talking about, the slow starts? And he did not dismiss that question. He said, yeah, I mean, we'll take that into account.
Wow.
Because remember, what was the story in training camp? What were we reporters all breathless over? We were all breathless over the breathless practices. Oh, my God, look how fast they're going. And the cardio. And that was real. That was absolutely real, and I think it carried over into the first part of the season. But then Matt Eberflus was transparent about it. He said, I'm taking my foot off the gas a little bit in the practices and let these guys rest up and heal up a little bit because we've gone hard. Now it sounds like I think one of the potential fixes, I don't know that you fix, you know, early game starts by having faster practices, but it certainly is something that Matt Eberflus wants to look back into, or at least did not dismiss the thought as if he had thought about that. So it'll be interesting when they do return from their mini bye, as I said, and see how things change in terms of the practices and remedying those really bad starts, like you said.
Got a texture, 815 says, I don't think they had a lead with the Giants. Well, actually they did. They actually got a field goal from Michael Badgley.
That one guy.
Who is their sole offense. That one guy who is in for Santos, and that one guy had all the points, and that was it. They led 3-0 and never again.
Next year at about this time, there'll be that trivia quiz. Who is that one guy that came in for like one game and hit like 4 really short field goals? I want to say he's from New Jersey and he kicked there in high school and won a state title. Oh, yeah, that guy.
Scott Foster. You're going to confuse him with Scott Foster, the E-Bug. So Michael Badgley was the E-Bug of kickers, backup kicker.
So put that in the back of your minds, Bears. But write it down. Right, if you're listening right now, jot it down in your phone and use that as a trivia question with your buds next year. Hey, next week, use that as a trivia question with your buds. Write that name down, Stat.
Okay.
Michael Badgley.
What's next? The Badgley Bunch. The Badgley Bunch. It's the story of a crappy offense. Okay, go ahead.
What is happening right now?
Stop it, Trash Panda.
That's a fair question, Trash Panda.
Suckage is happening. Go away.
What is happening here?
I'm really trying to figure out what happened in the last like 7 minutes.
Remain calm. This is still a sports station, right?
That's what's going on?
You be Chip Diller from Animal House, right? Remain calm.
More like Skip
all
Diller.
Is well.
Studs, this is why I'm only allowed 2 segments
it
on
sucks,
Rosie's show.
And it's free bases.
Oh my God. All right, let's move on. This is a what Mark Hurd. Okay. This is going to go against everything I said at the very beginning of the show about hearing things and having the ability to hear. I am not going to lie to you. This was a last second addition. Michael Irvin talking about Justin Fields. I have not heard this. I just saw it in an email from Mitch and I'm like, I want to know, and I didn't have time to listen to it. I want to know what the playmaker, the former Dallas Cowboys great wide receiver Michael Irvin, now broadcaster everywhere, what does he think about Justin Fields? Let's listen together.
When you don't get this man any big-time receivers, and you say I'm developing him as a passer, that's just hard. That doesn't correlate. It doesn't correlate. So now he has to drop back, and he's trying to learn how to read defenses, but he also has to figure out which one of his guys can get open, you know what I mean? I just don't like it. I don't like it. And sometimes it seems like you're set up for failure instead of success with things like that. I think you need to find him a receiver. Listen, look over in Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett and the guy on the football field. Look at the relationship him and George Pickens is picking up already. Yeah, they're losing games. They're losing games, but they're building something. Those two are building something. He's throwing the ball up. George Pickens going to get the ball. Matthew Trubisky wasn't doing that. They're losing games. They'll continue to lose games. But those two right there is building their relationship. And then when the rest come, they'll have something.
And the Bears are continuing to just try receivers. This has essentially been a trial period for Amir Smith-Marset, Dante Pettis, who was good in the game the other day. Darnell Mooney intermittently has had a nice connection with Justin Fields so far, but it's not full gas yet for those two. And I'm thinking that, you know, considering the earnestness between those two, that they will get there. Equanimeous St. Brown, I saw him. He was near me more than he was on the field for that game, that as in he was barely playing. I kept on looking at Equanimeous St. Brown. Like, what's going on? How come he's not out there?
He might be the only guy that hasn't dropped a pass this season.
Well, that's very true, and I thought he had played pretty well, but I did not.
So you can see why he'd be on the sidelines.
Yeah.
We don't want him on the field.
He was engaged, I'll tell you that, man. I was standing right behind him, and he was part of the conversations and in the other receivers' ears and all that kind of stuff. But that, in other words, you could say what you want about Justin Fields, but the playmaker seems to be taking the side of give this man some weapons, and I guess that's the mentality Irvin would have since he was a big weapon for Troy Aikman.
Well, let's say he had weapons. Would he still know what a receiver looks like and when he's open in the NFL?
Well, I think those receivers would be better at getting open, don't you? Don't you think they'd be like, yep, I'm good, so I'm wide open?
But for him, they need to be wide, clear, open. There's no tight windows for this guy. Yeah. There's just, when there was a tight window, he hit the defensive lineman in the face. It is, and when he tries to throw hard, he hit the defensive lineman in the face. I would love the idea of having better receivers, having more notable receivers, guys who can post up. But on those drives inside the five, when he decided he was going to throw one hard and drill it in, and it turned into a pick because it bounced off somebody's helmet. And then he showed no touch to Ryan Griffin. I don't know, what else you got?
Are you asking me what else I got?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, I'm in assessing Justin Fields based on the way Michael Irvin said it. This resounds. Like the Jay Cutler stuff.
But you know what? I have a question, because there is a theme with most of the cuts that I have played and will be playing.
Well, you heard, because you're of the hearing.
It seems like while Justin Fields has taken criticism, it seems like after the last 2 weeks, everybody at this point is afraid to criticize Justin Fields. That, except you, obviously, are an exception here.
Yeah, listen to the Take the North podcast.
Oh, is Haw and Weider on top of...
They have been extremely critical all season
one. Okay, I mean, I think it takes both sides. And I think part of Justin Fields, too, is that, again, going back to college, he did have guys that were wide open. Let's just face it. I think Justin Fields he has not yet completely adjusted to the NFL game relative to playing at a big-time college school. And he kind of admitted that last week when he said, you know, when we went through the breathing thing and talking about, you know, needing to be more calm and have better pocket presence and be able to be aware of all that and not speed up just because they're all speeding up. And he even admitted that he thought that he had to be like that. So I guess these are all things that he is slow to adjust to. And yeah, I mean, he's got to find those little windows that look impossible to throw to guys.
We talked about him taking the, as Getsy called it, the cheap completion, make it second and six, throw it, just check down, and he continues to hold on to the ball. And I maintain all this pressure he's facing, the hits he's taking, a lot of it is because of what he's doing. He's bringing it on himself. You're down there watching it. Does he hold the ball too long, and is that cause for defensive linemen to know, oh, my God, we know we got a shot at him because he's not going to release the ball. He's going to hold it. He's not going to get rid of it in 2 seconds. We got a shot at a sack. And Justin Fields is bringing this on himself, whether it's, you want to call it pocket savvy, or simply the NFL instinct, whatever the clock in your head, 2 seconds, it's got to go somewhere. and eventually you wear down the defensive line and they just throw their hands up. And when they throw their hands up, then you've got more time.
Coming up, Steve, on What Mark Heard, because I understand that we need to take a break, we'll have Matt Eberflus on the offensive line. We will also hear from Trent Dilfer, and specifically, Dilfer will talk about play calling. And then, if we have time, we'll get to Jim Miller, who was on The Score yesterday. Let's hear what he has to say about Justin Fields.
Wow, look at that. And Matt Abatacola checks in, one of our favorite people.
Bears.
So maybe, Mark, you can comment on this. Love the image of the Bears in full pads and helmets practicing basketball on a practice field at Halas. Now, would you, if they were practicing basketball, would you be able to report that? Would that not violate any of the Bears' PR rules? Because they're just worried about football. So if they were practicing basketball, would you, not only being the hearing Mark Grody, the seeing Mark Grody, would you be able to report on whether they could run a pick and roll better than they can run a goal line offense?
Now I'm trying to think of who would be the most talented basketball players on the – I think Dominique Robinson might have played hoops. There's probably a lot of guys who got a little bit of hoops in them too. Yeah.
How about Bayless Jones, since he can't play football? Maybe Bayless Jones can play basketball.
Oh, man, you still got to catch the basketball, though.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Forget it.
Yeah, right, like multiple times. So.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, no.
All right. Well, we'll take a break. We'll come back with football stuff. Saturday Suckage. Mark Grody is next again. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor, ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Bears.
Hey, Mark.
Yeah?
Mark.
What?
There's something else what Mark heard.
Yeah?
Today's an anniversary. Today's a Cubs anniversary. We will get to it later.
Oh.
And it has made various Twitter feeds, obvious shirts sent it out. And,
okay.
And Cubs Baseball Today sent it out. And it's an anniversary. We'll play it later. Dave Miska retweeted it saying, I'm always proud when they replace TV audio with a radio call mixed by me. Proud to have been there serving Chicago. Well, thanks to Trash Panda's effort, Dave Miska, we are going to replace TV audio with that which you mixed on this anniversary. And it's cool because what passes for baseball playoffs in Chicago is this. So we'll do that. But now,
are you going to play that during my segment, or are you talking about later in the show? Because that would be
later,
kind of trashy.
After the segment.
After the segment? While I'm not on. So you're making me listen even after I get off the air to this segment.
You want to do it now? Can we do it now?
I would love to do it now. Yeah.
Let's just do it now.
Okay.
I mean, he was there.
All right.
We'll do it now.
Right. Okay, we'll do it now. Then you stick around for 3 seconds.
Get to the chopper.
Done with this.
I got to get a haircut, man. I got a 1:15 appointment for a haircut on Fullerton and Southport. How am I going to make it? Come on, let's go.
You know why? Just turn your head upside down into Cuisinart, and then you're done. There you go. All right, so you're telling me you have hockey hair. That's all you got to do.
My bedhead sucks. It doesn't work for me. Go ahead.
This was in 2016. On this date, game one of the NLCS.
Wind up and the pitch. Montero drives one in the air. Deep right field. It's got a chance. Grand slam. Grand slam to Gal Montero. Cubs lead 7-3. Wrigley Field is shaking.
Coom Dog's right about that.
Yeah.
That was amazing, man. I was there. Listen, here's some speaking of trivia.
You were there.
Who was the next batter, and what did the next batter do?
Dexter Fowler homered.
Yeah.
While Wrigley was still shaking from Miggy.
Yeah.
And Miggy popped, and then Dexter got up, and you go, and we gone. And that was that. That was your eighth inning. In game one of the NLCS.
That was really incredible. All right.
Yeah, and today. It was on today. Today's the anniversary. And so I wanted to play that. Now we've covered the baseball playoffs for Chicago. We've gone back to 2016.
Sorry, I'm sorry I burned a segment for you later on, but I really wanted to hear that. So,
I'm glad you did. Do you remember? Because this was like, it was actually happening. Like, everything is everything at that moment. Do you remember, was there a thought, a moment, a picture, a flash?
Yeah, it just, everything felt like it got so loud and it did feel like everything was shaking. Like there was like this, it just felt like this blur of up and down movement. It's sort of hard to describe the way it felt and just the meaning of that and the moment of that. I mean, that was, it was incredible. I'd love to hear what the Coom Dog has to say about that too. Like when he reminisces. One of these days, they're going to have to do like a oral history of all of that with Coom and Pat and Miska, of course. Miska crushed it, man. Do you hear that mix? That was sick.
That would be great. Yes, that would be great. You know what? That would be great. I would love to do. I had talked to Chuck. I had Chuck Swirsky on. He's got a book out and. He said he wanted to do 3 hours. I said, Chuck, you can have my entire show. We can do 3 hours. We'll talk about your book, your history.
Absolutely.
As a leader, a pioneer in Chicago sports talk radio, which some of today's generation might not know. They know him as just the voice of the Bulls, and he's terrific at that. But there's a lot more that I want. I said, you could have 3 hours. 3 hours on it, you know, in any day in October of you and Miska and Pat Hughes – and Coom Dog, that would be terrific. That would be a great show, especially because the Bears suck, and that would be such a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, no, totally. And just all the experiences, the travel, the hotels, the
guys can't wear your rings.
Yeah, the ring. Yeah, we could wear our rings. I think it'd be incredible, man. Absolutely. Yes. But anyway, Bears.
Okay. The Bears still suck. Bears. Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's talk about offensive line and Matt Eberflus, and this is specifically the Flus on how he evaluates the offensive line through six games.
It's all-encompassing, right? You know, so it's rhythm time of a passing game, right? It could be individuals, you know, with their technique. I think it's all-encompassing. So we have to look at it, look at each individual guy, and then look at scheme during this week off and see how we can improve.
Not very fulfilling, I would say, on that cut and just the all-encompassingness of it. But here's what I think. Here's why I played the cut. I do think that after this mini bye, which we keep calling it, the Bears play October 24th, Monday Night Football at New England. I could see a scenario where I don't think Cody Whitehair is going to be back. In fact, he won't be back. But I do see the potential of starting to tinker with Lucas Patrick playing the center position.
I know that
that's what they want. I mean, I know that that's the reason they haven't gone to it yet is because Cody Whitehair, and it's possible too that maybe the hand is still not completely where it needs to be to actually be the person snapping the football like that. And obviously you don't want any, like, your hand can't be 75% if you're the guy touching the football on every single play. So yep. I think by then I'm comfortable in thinking that Lucas Patrick will be healthy by then, and will they start to experiment, do different things at the guard spots? I think that is possible because Lucas Patrick has struggled at guard, you know, throughout a lot of this. So, and he was paid to, brought in to be the center. That's where he practiced all of training camp and the OTAs, and that's where he was angling, and then things happened. So,
well, the coach's statement, as benign as you noted how benign it was, is simply a matter of he's not gonna name names, he's not gonna point fingers, it's not your fault, not your fault, not your fault. But somebody has to do that in the locker room. I don't know. And Lucas Patrick seemed to be a guy with the most gravitas. I still believe somebody's gotta turn around and tell Justin Fields, throw the damn ball. Get rid of the damn ball. We aren't helping you, and you're not helping yourself, and you're making us look bad. You're making the team look bad if you don't throw the ball. I don't know who does that. It's hard for a guy in his first year to be here. Maybe it's easier if he's playing center and he's calling out the offensive schemes. He's calling out the signals. I just think I can't imagine the offensive line is thrilled with Justin Fields because he is – exacerbating a bad situation when he could have their back, when he could be making things a lot better if he could get rid of the ball. I don't know. Maybe you come across this. Maybe you don't.
That's true. There have been times where Justin Fields getting sacked is on Justin Fields for sure, or a busted play is on Justin Fields. Here's the thing. They know that. The coaches know that. They'll be watching that. And even if the offensive line is taking a beating publicly, they'll go through every single play with Justin Fields, with the offensive line, and say, hey, okay, this one's your fault, this one's your fault, this one's not your fault, this one's your fault. And he knows that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know if that makes it any better, but it's just know that I promise you the coaches are seeing the same things that you're seeing.
I don't know where the come to Jesus moment is for Justin Fields to start giving back to his offensive line. Then his offensive line can do a better number to protect him. So
let's get to Trent Dilfer. How about Trent Dilfer? Trent Dilfer, who has been one of our all-star guests for the Bears season so far, and his job is to break down Justin Fields' performance each and every one of them on the Parkins and Spiegel show after, you know, every Bears game the day after. Catch Trent Dilfer. But he talked about play calling and specifically said that circumstances to play calling is impossible.
The circumstances around this play caller are next to impossible. When you can't protect, when you know you can't protect, you are really handcuffed in your ability to create. I do think he's very creative in the run game. He's very creative in the misdirection game. I like his movement game, his boot game, his play action game. but you can only do so much. I mean, I'm trying to think of an analogy, right? He's like, go try to race a Ferrari in a Camry. I don't care how hard you're pressing the gas pedal. You ain't going to beat it.
And Luke Getsy's a first-time play caller, too. And while I don't think that there has been any serious indictment on his, well, the Green Bay game was something. I'll say that. The Green Bay game where they essentially decided they looked like they were, that was the game where they looked like they were afraid to pass the ball. It was run, run, run. And they ran successfully, but they lost the game because they ultimately couldn't come up with a big play with the passing game. But yeah, I mean, I think it's worth following and remembering and understanding that this is first time stuff for Luke Getsy too, in terms of putting Fields and the offensive line and the receivers and the personnel in the right place.
And wondering why, I don't know, at the goal line, weren't you expecting at some point inside the five, Justin Fields is going to be given the opportunity to do whatever Justin Fields wanted? He's the best athlete. He's got 4 yards to go. Can you run to the pylon in 4 yards? Can you get one block? Can you use somebody as a – can you look like you're running to the pylon and find somebody open? And I just think that's – I don't like what they did out of the keeper out of the shotgun. I just thought it was – and yeah. Obviously it was badly executed. I don't know if that's affected their play calling inside the five since then, but I want him to have a chance – to get into the end zone. That's the object of the exercise.
How can you not look at it and say Luke Getsy needs to call better plays? I mean, of course. You're inside the five three times, you don't get into the end zone. You got to look at everybody. You can look at your offensive line, look at your quarterback, but look at the play caller too. I mean, that has to be – that has to come into evaluation. That does not look good on a resume.
It does not look good on your permanent record.
No. That is – it's not good.
All right. Is there any more of what Mark heard? I don't know how much Mark heard.
I do have one more cut. We did not do good. The Jim Miller yet. And let's hear what Jim Miller had to say about Justin Fields.
He has all the talent in the world. He has the makings to be a great one. And
star.
Like you said, he needs some help around him, the offensive line. And it's not, you know, he knows he's got to play better. Everybody's got to play better. I think everybody understands that. It's not there yet. Go look at what Buffalo did with Josh Allen. They signed a veteran offensive line. They signed Mitch Morse to a big contract. All right, they're drafting Spencer, big offensive tackle. Deion Dawkins is nice on the left side. Go look at their backups in Buffalo. Those guys could be starters on any team in the National Football League, and that's across the board with that football team. It's a new regime, all right? Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles, they're not responsible for the sins of the past. They're not. So everybody just needs to quit pointing the finger, let these guys build it how they want to build it. All the pieces aren't in place, and they want to do it with a young, talented quarterback, because that's where it starts. And the Bears have one in Justin Fields.
Sorry. I like that that they're rebuilding it and, you know, all of that, but I think that it's still fair to say what's around this guy. What'd you think about what Jim Miller had to say, Stevie Sunshine?
I understand his passion for the quarterback, protecting the quarterback, but quarterback is not protecting himself. And I keep coming back to that. He has Justin Fields has the greatest influence on how he's going to play and how he's going to be protected. If you're Justin Fields and you get rid of the ball, you are going to be protected. You're going to save your body the abuse. Look at the – I don't know what it sounded like. You were on the sideline. It looked awful. It looked terrible. I mean, it looked like he was that you wonder how he got up after some of that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And, I'm up close and personal and hearing the sounds too, and the cracks of the helmet and the body parts and all that. The fact that he did not make a visit to the blue injury tent on the sideline where I'm hanging out was amazing.
It's not – I never questioned his toughness, never questioned his passion. I've questioned his ability to adjust to the NFL and what he's seeing and what the key is. Get rid of the ball. Get rid of the ball and throw it away. Get rid of the ball and take the 5 yards or 4 yards you're going to give you on a check down. Live to play another day without feeling like there's a rib cracked or your shoulder is injured again. It's that kind of stuff. So when you want to talk about all the problems around Justin Fields, start with Justin Fields, and then I'll be happy to listen to your argument.
Can I go get my haircut now?
No. First, you have to tell me, you and Gabe Ramirez, I was given this massive major score broadcast announcement.
Oh, yeah.
You and Gabe Ramirez, Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah,
at
where?
Broken Barrel.
Yes. We're
a Broken Barrel located at 2485 Southport Avenue from 7 to 10. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft on Tuesday. And remember, while you're enjoying the broadcast, and who wouldn't with two former Suckageers, Saturday Suckageers,
yeah,
enter for your chance to win future Bears tickets and other great prizes. Brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Miller time. Mark has it, the Mark Grody Gabe Ramirez Petting Zoo will be open on Tuesday.
I can't wait, man. I love, like, Southport used to be my old playground. That's where,
yeah,
I love that corridor. I've never been to that place. I don't remember that place being around when I used to stroll the streets of Southport and all its little streets and having a ball on Southport. But I can't wait, man. That's there's a lot. I love getting out to the suburbs for a lot of these shows and these appearances, but man, I do love me some Southport, and Gabe Ramirez is awesome. We got a great little chemistry going, so I'm looking forward to that, man.
That's great. Have a good time. I've worked with both men, and they're blessed to not work with me on either of these broadcasts.
So come on by. Come on by to Southport.
Have a good time.
Hey, come on by. Gabe will buy you a whiskey or whatever you drink.
Yeah, and me and dark liquors are not friends. But thank
what
you.
Do you drink?
Thank you for
beer?
Thank you
wine.
For regularly spending wine, red wine.
Wine.
Thank you for regularly and margaritas. Thank you for regularly spending Gabe Ramirez's money. I know he appreciates that. All right.
Go get your haircut. Or the company credit card. Maybe I'll put the haircut on the card. No, I'm just kidding.
Go get your haircut before Trash Panda cuts your head off, okay?
Bye.
Bye. Thanks. That's Mark Grody. Top of the hour, Cam Ellis covers the Bears for Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's us. We will talk to him about Bears, and we have a cultural zeitgeist moment we need to go back to. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Thank you for listening, fellow Suckageers. Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the buzzword, and you know, I think it was the buzzword last offseason as well. I mean, I think you could juxtapose that to non-intelligent spending, right? And then it's like, okay, well, we certainly always want to do smart spending and make sure that they were making decisions that don't hurt the Cubs, you know, either now or in the future. And that's just making sure that we're looking at the whole picture as we make our decisions and using that lens. And our hope is that when we do that, we're able to build the special product that our fans deserve. And, you know, that's the lens we'll use this offseason. But my guess is we'll use it every offseason after this as well.
Intelligent spending. That was Carter Hawkins on Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw earlier this morning. And
David
on Haw. That, David Haw, yeah, you Haw. On that show, Bruce Levine broke the story that the Cubs have an interest in Jose Abreu. And I guess the parameters Bruce outlined were this is not any kind of 7-year deal. This should be 1-2-3 year and big money pop, and Abreu could add to the Cubs, although he is a bit of a speed bump for Mash Mervis. But that's what Bruce reported today. Would that be intelligent spending? If you're going to sign that guy, you're going to sign Jose Abreu, then you're not rebuilding anymore. None of this lame stuff about biblical losses and biblical losses of money and biblical losses of credibility. You go out and you start acting like a major league team from a big city. And that would be a step forward. Jose Abreu can still a consistent hitter. Well, consistent the way Jose Abreu is. The power was, that's troubling. But playing in Wrigley, maybe that helps. The rest of the National League, whoo boy. Remember when the Braves and Dodgers were all set to go to the NLCS, and why do we have them do anything else? Why are we waiting on this? Well, the Padres and Phillies have had something to say. This is a retweet by Josh Nelson of Sox Machine, a regular on The Score. It was from Mark Bussey. He tweeted, "We are now one win away each from the Rick Hahn seat at the table bowl, formerly known as the National League Championship Series, between Manny Machado's Padres and Bryce Harper's Phillies. There you go, White Sox fans. But I do not want to diss the other side of town, because that series would do service. It would service both sides of town, and it would pit Yu Darvish against Kyle Schwarber. San Diego, Philadelphia, in the NLCS, one's going to the World Series, Darvish, Schwarber. That's the same Darvish. Imagine that, getting to the NLCS, getting to the World Series, and Darvish is pitching like crazy, and that's the Darvish that the Cubs seem to indicate. They did not, on which they did not want to be the bad side of a contract when a guy was supposed to be really bad and you were paying a lot of money. And so he was traded in December of 2020, and that's when the Cubs decided they weren't going to be competitive for a couple years. They were just going to go under the witness protection program. And now they look like they're in a position to start playing big league free agency and spend like a major league team. Well, you're a big market team. It is time to make good on that. That's what you said. Your owner said it. Your GM said it. Your team president said it. People will be out there. No more losing free agents. No more having guys like Korea and Trey Turner say, well, I don't want to sign there until they show they're serious. Can you imagine that? Someone saying that about the Cubs, and here's two players saying it. All right, now's your chance. Further embarrassed by a Darvish Schwarber potential NLCS. Go Cubs. All right, we will talk Bears next. We will talk with Cam Ellis, who covers the Bears for Chicago Sports Radio. That's us, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.